couple of weeks ago, Andy was preaching about water because of the rafting trip, or the rafting, whatever you want to call it, tubing trip that the guys were doing that I was looking forward to doing. But unfortunately, I wasn't able to do it because, as you know from a prayer request that Eric made for me, I had just had a heart cath on Monday, and I couldn't be submersed for, 7 days. And the guys are like, don't worry, the guys won't submerge you. You can just ride along. And I guess they don't realize that this is White Rock Fellowship, and there was absolutely zero chance of me being submersed at some point during the trip down the river. So I didn't get to go, but Andy was talking about water, and I'll get into that a little bit more, but I made a goal at that point. If you guys all know, I'm a big Diet Mountain Dew fan. I mean, huge. I should like buy stock in Pepsi. But for 2 weeks, I went out and bought this, and I have been drinking water. Now, last weekend, I had 7-Up Zero because I had the stomach flu, which we won't get into, but I did have some pop just to quench my stomach and things like that, but I've been living on water, and I had a Diet Mountain Dew, and just to let you know, it tastes terrible now. I am so used to water that it actually tasted terrible. But 2 weeks ago, I was listening to Andy, and I thought, wow, this is great. After what I just went through, do a sermon on heart health. And, so after the sermon was over, I waited outside to talk to Andy. And, people come up and talk to Andy. And I was waiting, and then I'm like, you know what? I'm just not going to do it. I don't need to preach. Everything will be fine. And then Meredith Harper walks out and is talking to Andy. And Andy goes, what's that shirt you got on? And she was wearing an American Heart Association shirt. And I'm like, all right, God, guess I'm going to be sending Andy a text to see if I can go ahead and preach this weekend. And I get a reply back from Andy, that's awesome, man. I have been praying to God what to do for this particular Sunday. You are the answer to my prayer. Which I don't know whether I'm the answer to everybody else's prayer being up here, but at least for Andy, I was the answer to his prayer. So I'm going to be talking about heart health. One thing you might not realize, I haven't been up here preaching since pre-COVID. It has been that long. But I want to talk about how is your heart health. And since I haven't been up here since pre-COVID, Chris, you said, sorry, Scott, don't worry. Buckle your seats, guys. I haven't been up here for a while. You all get an 11-point sermon today. So get ready, strap in, we're going to have some fun. Heart health. Do you realize how hard it is to come up with words for each letter, especially when you have double H, double E, double A, double T, well, actually triple H, to come up with what you need to do? So it was a lot of hard work, but I figured you guys were worth it. And I didn't figure you guys would mind a 2-hour sermon. We haven't had one of those in a while. So I figured, Joel, we're going to Red Robin after this. It's heart healthy, by the way. I'm sure the food will still be warm-ish when we get there. So 2 weeks ago, Andy talked about, kind of water. And he was talking about replenish. And he was talking about regulate and refresh. And it was really the regulate that kind of brought my attention, because he described it as to control or maintain the rate of speed, and Debbie talking about control and not being able to control, and in order to operate properly. Water has really helped me over the last 2 weeks. I've lost 6 pounds, so that has helped. I feel better. I still am tired. I'm still getting used to it, but it's a lot better than Diet Mountain Dew, one after another after another. But Andy said, it regulates body temperature, protects your organs, tissues, regulates your blood pressure, which is really good for me because of all of the heart issues that I have had over the course of the last 8 years. So wanted to kind of talk about that, and I'll let you guys off the hook. I'm not actually going to do an 11-point sermon. because I just added one, so that's 12. No, actually, Andy last week talked about three A's. And so I told Andy, well, Andy, I'm going to plagiarize your sermon in a way. And I'm going to use your three A's. So you guys aren't, you don't have to worry about it. It's only a three-point sermon. So this goes back, I use the AAA logo because in 2015, most of you know this, some of you may not. 2015, my family and I were getting ready to go on a trip, a two-week trip down to Florida to go see my parents in Fort Myers and then to go to Universal Studios. And the night before, I had spent some time with Joe Murray, and during that time, I was having chest pains, and I thought, well, Joe and I, we've been playing men's basketball. Joe set a pick. If you guys know Joe and you know me, I shouldn't be trying to go through a pick that Joe sets. And I got walloped right in the chest. And I had to sit off to the side. I had chest pains, and I'm like, it's probably just still the chest pains from that. So leave Joe's house, go home, go to bed, wake up the next morning because we were leaving bright and early. We were driving all the way to Fort Myers. And I wake up buckled over with the worst pain that you could ever experience. So when somebody says that you're having a heart attack and it feels like somebody is standing on your chest, literally, it feels like someone is standing on your chest. And I go to the hospital. First of all, Sally dials 911. And I quickly grab her phone and hit disconnect. I'm like, we don't have the money for an ambulance ride. So we get in her car and we start driving to the hospital. I didn't realize that 911 calls you back. So as we're driving to Riverview, I get a phone call and it says 911. I ain't answering that. So we get to the hospital. If you've ever went to the hospital for a heart issue, they immediately hook you up. I mean, when I say hook you up, you get an IV. You get a 12-lead EKG hooked up to you. And they're running, and they've got people. You don't get one nurse. You get like four in your room. And they are scrambling. So they scramble, and then they come back in. They're like, you know what? We're going to go ahead and take you up into a room upstairs. Okay. Sally had to go back home because at this time, this was 8 years ago. Brody was 9. Lucy was 8. And she had to figure out what to do with the kids. So thank you, Andy and Jamie. She takes the kids to Jamie. Jamie's like, I'll get them to church. And so they bring them to church. And take me upstairs. And in comes this doctor. First time I've met this doctor. And he comes in. And he sits down in one of those nice, comfortable chairs in the hospital room. And I'm laying in bed. And he goes, so I got three options. He introduces himself. My name is Dr. Schilt. He goes, I've got three options for you. He goes, I can either take you downstairs and we'll put a stent in. He goes, or I can put you on and do a stress test and then I'll put a stent in. He goes, or we can do nothing. I don't recommend the third option. And of course, me, I start cracking up laughing. I go, well, it looks like I'm getting a stent. So Sally is still running the kids away. They quickly take my bed out the room. And as I'm walking, I'm in tears. And the nurses ask me if I'm okay. Well, I'm scared to death. I've never had a heart cath before, let alone a heart attack, things like that. And so I'm like, I really would like to talk to my wife just one last time. And so I called Sally and said, I love you. Tell the kids I love them. They're taking me in to put a stent in. I don't know. Had I known, I've had so many heart casts, I can't even count them on my hands now. Had I known what I'd known then, I wouldn't have been as worried as I was. Now when I go in for a heart cath, Dr. Schilt doesn't give me as much Versed, which is the stuff that they do to kind of knock you out. He doesn't give me very much so that I can sit there and watch the screen as he's doing it because I'm that kind of weird person. So anyways, going back, I'm going to Andrew. I am so glad that your grandmother got the help that she needed and she was able to go through it. I am here today because of quick action. Well, could have been quicker action if I'd have used the EMS, but by quick driving by my wife. So praise God that your grandmother's okay. And for people, I don't have a slide about this. Riverview has for $49 a test that you can have, that you go in there and they scan your heart. It's like a CT scan. They scan to make sure it checks what your plaque is and things like that. I highly recommend it. $49 is nothing compared to not being around anymore. And when you get a stent, it was like $60,000. So that $500 for an EMS ride was nothing. So anyways, let's go back to my 3 points. We're going to go back to Andy's points because I really like his points from last week. So they were action, attitude, and approach. And so I'm going to steal those, and I'm actually going to use that for my heart health sermon today versus the 11-point heart health sermon. So last week, Andy described actions as anything someone does involving action and response to stimulus. It looked better on my laptop. And so I found, and I'm going to do a lot in Proverbs, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the spring of life. And I, when I found that verse, I thought, wow, that's really good because it has meaning as far as physical heart health, but it has so much meaning spiritually about your heart health, being vigilant. And so I like that word vigilance. So dictionary.com, I don't think I own a dictionary, described or defined vigilance as the state or quality of being vigilant. Don't you love when they use the word to define the word? That helped me tremendously. But then I read a little further and I found watchful. Be watchful of your heart. Be watchful of your heart health, what you eat. We went to the state fair yesterday. I wasn't very watchful. I had a dill pickle pizza on a stick. It was very tasty, but probably not so heart healthy. So I've got to get better at that. I know I've got to get better at that. But it's also being vigilant in and watchful over your heart with God. And how you act. Because people see what you do, as Andy described last week. People pay attention to what you do. They may not know that you're a Christian, but they still pay attention to what you do. And it's your response. Andy talked last week about his drill bits. I didn't have any drill bits that I had to worry about. But people do look at your response to things. My kids look at my response to things. Back in January, we had our staff retreat, which was a lot of fun. And Andy did kind of a newlywed game, but since all of us have been married a while, it was really an oldlywed game, or oldlywed game. And so one of the questions that Andy asked, that Sally answered, and then I had to come up with her response was, how is your spouse going to die? So I assumed that with all of my heart issues, she was going to put something regarding my heart, and so that's what I chose. My wife selected road rage. Now, I'm not saying that this is me, but I figure this is perfect because of the fact that I have six cats, or we have six cats, even though I'm highly allergic to them. But this really is me. Get off the road, you drive like an animal. Even yesterday, I'm still working on this, okay? I'm still working on this. A guy cuts me off, and right as I get ready to do it, I hear Brody go, "Don't honk at him." Too late. And then later, as we're coming home and we're driving down Kerrigan Road to our house, car in front of me, do you guys realize that the speed limit out here is not 32 mile an hour? And so I'm like, oh, come on, come on. And we get almost to our house where I know that they can't, like, follow me, because that's always Sally's. You don't know who's got a gun. And I'm like, well, Nate Harshman's not following me, so I'm okay. But I flash my lights, just to let the person know you're driving too slow before I conveniently pulled into my neighborhood and could get away. And Brody goes, I'd never, if somebody flashed their lights at me, I'd just drive slower. I think my son has his own road rage problems. I guess it doesn't fall far from the tree. So anyways, your action is your response to action. People watch that. It's always great when I would hook up the church trailer to my vehicle and drive around, because there's not a chance in the world that I would honk, flash my lights at anybody with the church trailer, because I could just see that conversation with Andy after he got a phone call. Yeah, I don't know who had the trailer, but it was a silver vehicle with a New York Giants and Chicago Cubs logo on the back of it. But they honked at me, and if that is the kind of people that you have at your church, there's no way that I'm going to go there. So I didn't want, so maybe I just need to borrow the trailer and have it attached to my vehicle at all times, and that's really going to help me move forward in my response to my road rage. So I found this in Ephesians 4, 31 through 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger, I hate this verse, and it is true, you can hate Bible verses, and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. You know how hard it is to forgive sometimes? You know, I've been forgiven for a lot of things in my life. I'm still with my wife because she has a tender heart and forgave me. It's not the easiest thing in the world to forgive one another, but why should I have to forgive somebody for cutting me off? They have no idea what happened, had a reaction to me. Why should I need to forgive them? I need to just not respond. I need to be calm, because their actions doesn't need to dictate my negative response. So now let's go into attitude. And last week he described it, the form of thoughts of the heart. And I'm like, wow, this is actually when he got to this point that I'm like, this kind of really fits along with what I wanted to talk about. And I was like, thank God, because I couldn't figure out something more than an 11-point sermon, and I knew you guys wouldn't want to sit through it. So, he described it as a posture of the mind that shows one's disposition, beliefs, and opinions. And I thought, well, wait a minute. Attitude is also a posture of the heart that shows one's dispositions, beliefs, and opinions. So, again, I told you I'd spend a lot of time in Proverbs. I love Proverbs. A tranquil heart gives life to the flesh, but envy makes the bones rot. So a tranquil heart, calming your heart. Number one, if you have a calm heart, if you have a spiritually calm heart, you don't have to worry about having a calm physical heart. You don't have to worry about heart issues and what's leading up to that, because Christ has already calmed your heart, which he really has. It's us that corrupt our heart. And how do we corrupt our heart? Well, we corrupt it with stress, worry, anxiety. And let me just tell you, when you haven't preached in 4 years, there's anxiety, loneliness, and anger. We've already covered the anger part. And I was actually, after I got here earlier this morning to make coffee, and I took the first hour of it working on my sermon, so at least you're only in for an hour. And I put a part into the sermon, and then I actually decided to take it out until Robin pulled me off to the side after the worship team had finished practicing and talked about how far I had come. And so I'm going to put it back in because I want to show you how far I have come. And it deals with loneliness. So Sally and I have been married for 19 years. I have known her for 20 years. 3 months before I met her, I was at a very low point in my life. I was lonely. I went through a divorce. I had lost a girlfriend that I thought was special. I didn't know how special what God had planned for me. But I went into my garage with the garage door closed, got into my car, and turned it on. And I sat there. And then I started crying. And I remember asking God, what do you have planned for me? And I don't remember reaching up and turning the key off and opening the garage door. But I do remember going across the street to my neighbors, who were very good friends of mine, and telling them what I had just done. So they didn't call EMS at that time. There's a thing with me and not going in EMS for EMS rides, but they took me up to the ER and they ran all of the tests. And the thing was, had I been in there for just a few more minutes, I would have succeeded with what I was trying to do. I was very close to needing to go into a bariatric chamber to get the carbon monoxide out of my lungs. So I've been there. I've been there through the loneliness. And if there's anything that you are dealing with where you feel lonely, please come and talk to me. I've been there. I haven't been in your specific situation, but I'm here to listen. That's the greatest thing that I can do is listen and just be a shoulder for you to cry on. So if you need anything to talk, please come to me. So, yeah, I'm actually doing good. We go to approach. So I am a golfer, or let me rephrase that. I'm a guy that goes out to a golf course and hits and chases a little white ball into the tall grass, into the woods, near the water. I am not what you call a good golfer. I am what you call somebody that likes to go out there and have fun with my friends. But I realize that approach really isn't talking about golf. Andy described approach as to come near or nearer to someone or something in distance or time. So again, your heart health should bring you closer and closer in your approach to Christ. Josiah, I want to apologize. Is Josiah here? Is he here in the other room, the other building? I want to apologize to Josiah. At the beginning of the year, the youth group and the youth leaders made a pact to do the Bible reading from the beginning to the end. And at some point, I got off of that. And it has been so long that I would have to read like 4 days at a time to catch up before the end of the year. Now, I'm not saying that I'm not going to do that. I'm just saying that I shouldn't have had to do that. My approach to my heart health should have been daily in the Word. And I haven't. So, Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." We can't come into this with just a portion of our heart. If we look at our heart health and we say, well, I'm going to eat a salad today and a half a box of Twinkies tomorrow, that's not coming at your heart health with your full attention to it. It's the same thing as if you are looking at getting closer to God and seeking Him with all of your heart. You can't do that with just half of your heart. You have to be all in. So I'm going to backtrack just a little bit and go to the Thursday before I had this last heart cath and went in and saw Dr. Schild, and he said, you know what? I can't explain why you keep having chest pains all the time. We're going to go in and check things out again. So he leaves and his nurse, Mandy, comes in. If you guys know Dr. Schilt, you know Mandy. Mandy is absolutely great. She is hilarious. She is so much fun, and she comes in, and of course, my wife is there because she's got to get her 8,000 questions answered before she's satisfied with my heart health. Okay, maybe eight. But she asked him, or asked Mandy, so he's got 5 stents. How many stents can you put in a heart? And her response is, we can give him a full metal jacket. And I'm thinking, yeah, I don't want my heart to be like more mechanical than it is actually heart, because, you know, I want the love to come from the heart and not to come from some metal piece inside, which was actually kind of funny. I'm not going to. Let's just let you know that the screen meshing on the protection of your gutters, if you ever get that on, is actually the same type of mesh that they use to make stents. So that tells you it won't let things through. So, you know, we were talking, you know, and she said full metal jacket. So then later that week, I went to take Wake Burkhardt out for ice cream. We do it every once in a while, every couple weeks. And I was talking with Corey, and I was telling Corey that the doctor said, you know, full metal jacket. And she's like, armor of God. That's your armor of God. Wow, there's another point for the sermon. God's just lining these up for me, making it easy. Really, if you think writing a sermon is hard, if you just pray to God, he'll give you everything that you want. Well, most things. He doesn't give the bad jokes, and he comes up with those on his own. So Ephesians 6, 11 through 13. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness and in the heavenly places. This is what we have to guard our heart. This is why having a spiritually healthy heart is so important. Because we have all of that crap that is trying to get us every single day. And so, the more and more I thought about this sermon and kind of the point that I wanted to leave you with is, what should your approach be? I can't say what your approach should be. That is, each person has their own individual approach. I can say, you know, in order to prepare your heart to receive God, you must acknowledge every good thing that is already in you because of Jesus and return to the joy of your salvation. He's already put everything that you need in your heart already. You just have to come to him to find it. You have to pray. But not just pray, God, please help me find my, you know, my healthy heart, my spiritually healthy heart. You need to have a conversation. That's how I got so much of this, is I just literally had a conversation. I didn't bow down and close my eyes. I just had a conversation whenever I could during my workday. I would start the prayer and just leave it open. I wouldn't say amen. I would just keep having that conversation. And then I had a notepad and I'd write little things down as they came to me. You just have to acknowledge every good thing that God has already given to you. So I'm going to close with this, Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. And I'm going to do it as our closing prayer. So if everyone could just bow your heads, I will read this as our closing prayer before we go. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.